You're listening to the Dad Bod Golf Pod with Kyle Rush, Ben Taylor, and Nate Pass.
What's up, everybody? We're back again.
Nate is back again. It's episode 225 of the Dad Bod Golf Pod. The name could not be more truer now. We have a dad, third dad with a dad bod.
I wasn't real sure what we were about to get a look at right there.
Yeah, I don't know. I was confused for a second.
Inception.
Hey, exactly. I thought I didn't know what we were going to talk about. What dad bod actually meant there for a second. But anyway, proud to be back. Proud members of the Bleed Podcast Network. And tonight's episode, Nate's reunion special, is brought to you by Bet Online, the number one sports betting website in the country. You had NFL back hot and heavy this week. College football is right getting deep in the swing of things. Get your teasers, get your parlays, get your round robins, get it all going. You can get it all going at BetOnline. Use coupon code BLEAV, B-L-E-A-V, get a 50% bonus. Give them $100. They're going to give you 100 plus 50 back to play with. So $150 to play with. It's awesome. If you don't like sports, they got a casino. Play blackjack, craps, roulette, whatever. Whatever your heart desires, Caribbean stud, slap it. Let's go. BetOnline, it's where the game starts. Gentlemen.
Yo.
Nate, first of all, welcome back, man.
Welcome back.
Fired up.
Congratulations. It's great to be here. There's bags under my eyes. My child is wearing a Masters onesie at this moment as she sleeps because she can't wait and I can't wait for Augusta.
Yes, yes. We had a good taste of what that could possibly
be like this weekend. A very small taste, but we had, I called it the J.G. Wentworth Classic. It's actually the BMW PGA Championship, which is one of the Rolex Series events, a flagship event on the DP Tour. You had some LIV guys. I think there was 15 LIV guys and then several PGA Tour guys and European Tour guys duking it out, and it ended up being an absolutely electric finish. The course, they absolutely dominated the course. The most ironic thing that happened this weekend, we talked about, is the Queen Elizabeth passed away, and the event got changed to a 54-hole event. How funny is that?
After Rory,
24 hours after Rory running his mouth about how he could beat somebody on Sunday because they would be tired from only playing 54 holes.
You know what? And there may have been something to that, because some LIV guys went deep today. There were some LIV guys that went absolutely deep. Gooch shot like 6 under. Patrick Reed shot 9 under and was the leader in the clubhouse for a while. Mm-hmm. So there may be something to that. There may be something to that. I'm not really sure. But anyway, Shane Lowry wins. He came out hot today. John Rahm shot 62 with an eagle on 18. To take the clubhouse lead, and it took Lowry all the way to 18 to surpass him. Rory had a putt for eagle that he left on the lip to get in a playoff. It was a good one.
Ben, give me tons of courses that finish par 5 on 17 and 18.
Quit.
Opportunity for them to go eagle and make up 4 shots down the stretch. I was like, what?
I saw that, and I didn't think that could have been right, but I think it is. I think it
finishes. It's a par 37 on the back.
That's insane.
There's three par fives on the back. Like, when you make the turn, you're like, all right, now I got to turn it on. I got 3 par 5s and 2 par 3s where I can really make up some ground.
That needs to be a meme. In a world of par 35s, be a par 37. Have that beer. I'm Nate Pass with
that bug off button. That should be on a t-shirt. I don't think I've ever played a course, maybe one course that I've played back-to-back par fives anywhere on the course. Like
Indian Pines got back-to-back.
I think that's it. That's the only course I've ever played that has back-to-back.
And they both suck. They are both like
they're pretty vanilla.
1,400
yards.
When's
the last time y'all played that, though? I think they changed that first par five on the back. I think they changed it to a 4.
No, on the front. There's back-to-back par fives on the front.
Now that I think
about
it.
It used to be back-to-back-to-back.
Now that I think about it, on both sides, there used to be back-to-back.
Yeah.
The front is still back-to-back. The back, one on the back, they changed it because they took all the trees down from a par 5 to a par 4. So
that's still, though, to finish par 5 with an opportunity to reach at both of them. Like, they're not – it's not one of those where they're like, extra long where you got – I mean, they were hitting irons into both of them.
Yeah, 210, 220.
Yeah.
Definitely into 18. So – It was great. It was, but I think that everybody was kind of hoping, I mean, at least we were, just for the chaos purposes, that, you know, possibly
Gooch could have made a run down the stretch and won. Mm-hmm. I think that both of those guys, Reed and Gooch, finished ahead of Billy Horschel, who talked crap about both of them. Actually named them by name, didn't he? Did he name Gooch? I know he named Gooch. Did he name Patrick Reed by name, or was it Abraham Answer?
It was Answer. He named Answer by name. He went and picked on a little guy. I mean, come on, man.
Yeah.
Like, if you're going to talk trash, pick out a big guy.
Exactly. So I got a question. I sent it to y'all. I want to pose it. I want to see what you think about it. All right. So you had 1, 2, 3 was Lowry, Rory, and Rahm, all European guys playing in England, finished 1, 2, 3. Then you had Gooch and Reed finish 4, 5. What's more impressive? What was more impressive? The PGA Tour kind of standing up and taking it, or the LIV guys rolling into sort of hostile environment, not even really getting TV time, and then they come in 4, 5. What's more impressive?
I'm going to go ahead and say that Gooch and Patrick Reed, because Patrick Reed has not been playing that good. So this is just a good performance for him overall. But this is weird because it's not a PGA Tour event, you know? So, like, I feel like Lowry, Rory, and Rahm are, like, probably the three best European golfers on the planet.
Yeah.
So it was that's impressive. But all those guys should finish up there. Those are all, like, arguably top 10, top 5 players in the world, right? Rahm and Rory are top 5 players in the world. Shane Lowry is as good as it gets. Tyler Gooch and Patrick Reed, we don't even know the extent of how unwelcome they were felt. They were made to feel from the get-go. I mean, TV coverage, they don't know how much they're being covered. But the absolute tension while they were there. Like, we don't ever have, like, we have home field advantage at the Ryder Cup. But, these guys were, like, just unwelcomed. They were just absolutely unwelcomed. There's never been anything like that before.
Yeah, even Poulter was unwelcomed, and he's been Euro's hero for freaking 25 years.
He's their boy.
Yeah.
He's their go-to.
I'm going to go – I'm with Nate, but I'm for a little bit different reason, Kyle, that I think that the most impressive was Gooch and Reed, because they're going to have so many limited opportunities in order to get World Cup points. They have to – finish high.
That's a great
because
question. That's what my
they will not be able to do this week in and week out like Rory and Rahm. I mean, Rory and Rahm and Lowry, if they stub their toe and finish 25th in this event, so what? They'll get 15, 20 other events. They can they don't have to, but they can tee it up if they want to and play. And I mean, you've heard Rahm even say, I mean, he's dedicated to the PGA Tour, but when he needs World Cup or when he needs World points, he heads over to the Euros and plays 4 or 5 tournaments, gets his points, and then comes back. So those guys don't have that chance. And so I'm going to say that the LIV guys had more pressure because in order for them to
get their points. That goes into my next question. You're right, though.
In order to get their points, I was more impressed with them just because they had to play well. And then on top of that, exactly what Nate said, we don't know what they, were told, what they were said. I mean, you made a point today. You texted both of us, and you were like, I haven't seen Gooch hit a shot all day. I didn't either. I mean, I never
saw him hit a shot.
I never saw him hit a shot. So, and I mean, here he
finished
is.
He finished
tied for at one point in time, he was a shot off the lead, and then he finished top 5, and you never see him hit a ball. That's just stupid.
I just don't understand. How is that not good TV? Like, you don't have to like him. Like, how is that not
from a TV standpoint, you're absolutely right.
F Tyler Gooch, but have an opportunity to play this up, and I just don't understand.
You're the TV broadcast is to make money. The TV broadcast is to make money, sell advertisements, not to make statements. Like, you put Taylor Gooch, Patrick Reed, Abraham Answer on the thing, and they got LIV Tour stuff on, and you got people tuning in just to watch them, hopefully watch them lose. Like, maybe they want to watch them lose. Like, people love to hate people. So, that is beyond me. They did give Patrick Reed an interview at some point in time, which I thought was
I never saw all that.
Mighty White.
Very vanilla. But yeah, like I didn't really get that. Ben, my point was going to be the same as yours. It's impressive to me that in the very limited opportunities that you're going to get world ranking points, you come into hostile territory, basically a road game. They're both Americans. They don't play over there, you know, a ton. A road game against the Euros, and you come in and you finish 4-5, and you get the points in the very few times that you have an opportunity. So kudos to them. You can't take anything away from those other three guys, though. I mean, it's still a golf tournament. You still got to go out. You still got to win it. Shane Lowry did it. Rory had a putt to go to a playoff, and then Rahm eagled the last hole to make Lowry have to make birdie. So those dudes played, and all of them went deep today. So that was really good golf played to finish this 54 hole exhibition out. It was the only thing missing was a shotgun.
I thought Rory was going to stub his toe early in the round. He had a couple of bogeys early.
He started hooking it off the tee.
I was like, oh, he's about to pull a Rory. He's going to do it on the final day, which would
but
be
he didn't.
Any other. And no, he didn't. He did. He stepped it up, and so good for him for doing that. And, you know, he showed a little oomph, had a little sack to him today.
We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about that next. But the first thing I'm going to talk about is Swannies.co. I hope you did not miss the subscription box. You got the hat over there. You got the polo down there. I hope you didn't miss the subscription box. If you did, you can still go online. They got tons of stuff that they're dropping like almost weekly. Use coupon code DadBodGolfPod-25. Take 25% off your next order and the next order after that and the next order after that. From
I forgot the name of this polo.
Is that the Mac or something like that, or Mac Daddy, or
I want to call it something else. I want to call it like the Flintstone polo. It looks like the little rocks
sharp,
from the Flintstone.
What it looks like.
I like it.
I wore this hat in the C-section room. Had a little thing.
Could have been the first.
Look at the pictures.
Could have been the first.
Look at the pictures. I had. Yeah.
Could have been the first delivered baby with a Swannies hat on.
It'd be the first Swannies baby.
Swannies baby. So check them out, and you too can have a Swannies baby.
They need to make Swannies swaddlers.
Don't forget the coupon
code. Hit me with a Swannies swaddler.
Don't forget the coupon code. Check
them out, Swannies.co. All right, so Ben, you kind of touched on it. I want to take what you just said and move on it. Okay, so since the British Open, the Open, whatever you want to call it, Rory has. I mean, he's played good all year. Okay, he's played good all year, but Rory has seemed to take his game up a level. It seems like there's a little bit more of a sense of urgency, so to speak. Do you feel that? How do you feel? Like he's sort of like I'm anointing myself the guy, or I'm being anointed the guy. Now I got to actually step up and do the damn thing. What do you take away from this? Well, like why am I sort of just, is he just this good all the time? And I'm just sort of drawing conclusions or what do we think about that?
No, his demeanor's definitely changed. I don't know if it's been because of the live stuff or because maybe some people have been in his ear and said exactly what we've been saying, because we've talked about how in previous tournaments he just has one or two rounds that absolutely suck and he looks like he just doesn't care. And yeah. I mean, we were like, he's the only guy on tour that could basically shoot 264s and still lose a golf tournament because you in the other two rounds, you got to throw in there a friggin'
73s.
Yeah, 74 and a 75 because he's done something stupid. So it looks like his game, I think the game's always been there. I think that he's just had a wake up call as of late. And again, I don't know if that's the live thing. I don't know if that's Monahan in his ear. I don't know if it's other players in his ear. It could be, you know, it could be since he and JT have been, quote, deemed the saviors of the PGA Tour. When they've been in meetings, JT's probably looked at him and said, bro, you got to step up. Like 74 doesn't cut it twice a tournament. And if we're going to be the face of the tournament, we need four rounds in the 60s.
What do you think, Nate?
So I think that he has said some extremely inflammatory things. I mean, Rory has been like, we've just never seen him pop off in this way.
And he's
got to back it up, because if he doesn't, not only does he look like an idiot, but he hurts the entire movement of this tour, of the PGA Tour that he's trying to build. So, yes, if you talk big and you deliver, then it's a huge blow. But if you talk big and you don't, you do way more harm than good. So there's absolutely pressure. Every time Rory comes out and runs his mouth about beating somebody because they play 54 and he plays 72, you better kick whoever's ass is coming. And the more guys that join the live tour, the more talent you're going to have to deal with. It's not just going to be, you know, Brooks Koepka's brother coming at you. You're going to have some people to deal with, especially in major championships.
If you're going to keep, I
love the big talk as long as you keep backing it up. But if you keep talking big and then your game slides down and all of a sudden your reputation is for your mouth instead of your swing, we know plenty of people who have gone down that road.
Who do you think Rory was scoreboard watching more? Shane Lowry, because I think he was the group behind Shane. Was he the group behind Shane Lowry
or was he playing with Shane Lowry?
He was two groups behind
okay,
Shane Lowry.
Okay, so was he watching?
He was playing with Molinari. Rory
so was whose scoreboard was he watching for the most? Shane Lowry, John Rahm, or Taylor Gooch and Patrick Reed? Who was he wanting to beat worse?
I think Taylor Gooch, until he got to 16, knowing he was going to 17 and 18 with two par fives, he needed to see who was ahead of him. I think he was seeing where Taylor Gooch was behind him, like what was going on.
Okay.
Or was Taylor ahead? So Taylor would have been ahead of him, I guess. So he was looking, he was watching Taylor Gooch's name until he realized that he was probably. As soon as he saw Taylor Gooch didn't like Eagle 17, he probably then shifted his focus to ever who the leader was to say, all right, there's my number. That's where I got to get to.
I will say that this tournament, although I didn't watch it, but based on the recap that we've done, this is not a Scheffler-Rory showdown where it's just mano-a-mano. I mean, he's still trying to win a golf tournament, and he's got to beat some of the most talented people on the absolute face of the planet, right? I mean, if Shane Lowry and John Rahm are chasing you down, like, I don't care if you're in a nightclub or at a golf club. Like, that is scary.
Yeah.
So, I do – I mean, I think he was keeping up with Patrick Reed. I think if Patrick Reed and Tyler Gooch aren't anywhere near the top of the leaderboard, maybe he has a different mindset. But also, we have to remember Rory is a strong competitor, and he wants to beat whoever it is. He wants to beat Rahm and Lowry.
I mean, you got to think, Kyle, he's got the number he knows he's got to hit because Rahm finished the damn early because he shot a 62.
Correct.
I mean,
correct.
Reed's the first one that finished at like 9 a.m. our time. And then Rahm finished at like 10:30 our time. And so that number was out there from the time. Basically, I think when Rahm finished, I think Rory was on 3, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. And so there's your number right there. So he knows that right away. Like, that's my number. Rahm's number is my number if I'm going to win this thing. But then, towards the end, I do think he was seeing.
How did he finish? I would love to know
how he finished. I can't find like the DP World Tour. Like, I know he birdied 18. What did he do on? What did he do on 17? Like, I can't. Well, I don't know. That's what I'm trying to find out. What
how did
is,
who finish?
Rory. Like, how did he finish the course? Like, birdie, par birdie. Oh. I can't find.
I wonder if they have an app, and I wonder if it's better than the PGA Tour app. I don't know.
It is. Round three, he finished par birdie.
Okay, so you had this is my thing.
But he had four birdies on the back. He definitely turned it around on the back. He birdied 10, birdied 12, which is the first par five, and then birdied 15, which is a par four, and then he parred 17 and birdied 18.
Okay, so his last birdie would have put him ahead of Gooch. So he went. So my thing is that did he
take a sigh of relief? And that's why I didn't birdie 17 because he's like, good. You know what? I beat Gooch. That's what I'm worried. That's my conspiracy.
I think that would belittle Rory as much as I enjoy belittling Rory.
Yeah,
I do think he's still a strong enough competitor to where he still wants to win the golf tournament.
Okay, that's fair.
Yes, and
he did have a. I mean, he left Nate, him on the lip too. So I mean, he tried to make that putt.
Nate, to answer your question, the DP World Tour, the website, not necessarily the app, but the website is definitely a lot faster and more up-to-date than the PGA Tour.
The app's
website.
Pretty good, too.
So it takes the web channel, so.
The app takes a minute to load, and then it's, like, way better, and the app is ahead of the TV. As far as shot tracker, the shot tracer is ahead of the TV, so it's really good.
Because the signal takes so long to get here from England.
Yeah, that's what it is.
You got to go all the way across the ocean.
Across the pond.
You look at that, and you sit there, and you're going,
come into the the network in New York and then down here to us in Alabama.
We've said before, and even Speed Tracker has said it too. I mean, this Live Tour thing, if they would just make a damn app that is a hell of a lot faster than the PGA Tour app, they'd win a lot of golf fans over just because they'd keep up with scores a lot faster than.
Hey, make a Live Tour app where you can track scores and then put like a little plug-in where you can like live bet on the app. Dude, oh. Get out of here. Come on, bet online. Make that happen for me.
Make it happen. Make it happen. Let me tell you something else you need to make happen, and that
is you need to make yourself go purchase a Blue Tees rangefinder. Like, you got to make it happen. Guys, you cannot play golf fast and efficient without a laser. You got to get your laser, and there's no reason to pay $600.
Ooh, you get a
laser beams. There's no reason to pay $600 for a laser when the Blue Tees can do everything that those can do for a fraction of the price. Use coupon code DADBOD. You can take 10% off that already extremely low price and get all the top features. You like to go use the slope? Great, you got it. You play in a tournament where you can't use it? Toggle it off. Switch it off. You want to shoot that bunker, find out how far a bunker away is, how far it is to carry it, switch it to scan mode. You can lock right on it. It's awesome. Got the magnet. You can keep it right on the side of the cart. You don't have to keep throwing it in and out of the bin like I have a bad habit of doing. You just go with it. Blue Tees is absolutely the way to go. Blue Tees is where range finders start.
Let me ask you this, guys. How often do you think that guys cheat on, like,
that's not a the great
PGA,
question.
Not PGA Tour, but how many? Because it's just a toggle on and off. How often do you think the pros are like,
oh, with rangefinders? Oh,
he's like,
okay.
He's wow. Like, yeah, I got 175, and then he like opens the book to and he's like, and it's playing downhill about 10 yards.
Yeah. Can you even
and
have
they,
that?
They give a rat's ass about slope, and you know who also doesn't? Nate Pass, Airport
oh
Motor.
Oh, gosh. And then when a PGA Tour official comes and asks him about it, they're like, yep, flip the switch.
It was off the whole time.
Off the whole time.
Probably can't
you
even wanna, have
you
that
You want to check my laser? Huh?
They honestly probably can't have that feature.
When I played in a couple of pro-ams with, like, small tour events, back when it was, like, Nike Tour and stuff, like, they had the feature. It was the... They're allowed to use it.
Interesting.
So I was always curious. I've always thought, okay, so they can just flip that shit on during the round anytime they want.
Yeah. Like, well, hey, let me tell you something that's super interesting. It's as these a couple of tweets popping off. And we're gonna talk about it. It popped off today a little after lunch.
And everybody knows Golf Lover UK on Twitter is the number one source of information, like on golf Twitter. I mean, the most trusted golf insider that there is. But it is pretty interesting. But there's an article done about it, so it must be, you know, a little bit something to it. So I'm going to read it. It says, my info has always been spot on for players going to Live. Hey, if you throw that out there at the beginning of the tweet, I'm in. You know what? Who am I to
I'm reading the rest of the 127 characters on that one that are bugged.
Like, who cares if you have 470 followers? I mean, if you started off with that, I'm going to be locked in. It says he's been informed a top 10 player is going to Live. He has agreed, $10 word, at the new PGA proposal and the quote-unquote Rory Tour. Ooh. I'll let you guess for a few days. So, and then there's a couple other people that chimed in, said I've heard the same thing. Mm-hmm. So that leads to wild speculation. So, there's a top 10 player that is rumored to be ready to jump to the Live Tour. He's pissed off about the new about Rory and the Tiger thing taking over. Sorry, Nate popped out. He'll jump back in just a minute. There he is.
There he is. Hey, Nate.
The Rory Tour. They're not happy with it, and they're ready to bolt. They're ready to bolt. So that's led to rampant speculation on who this might be. So. We're going to have some fun with this. We're going to give our best case for who we think it is and just kind of go around the horn. So I'm going to start with Nate. Nate, I want you to lay out what top 10 golfer is about to jump to Live and why.
And Nate, if you don't have the top 10 in front of you, Scheffler, McIlroy, Smith, Cantlay, Schauffele, Rahm, Thomas, Zalatoris, Morikawa, and Hovland.
Got it.
So you can go ahead and eliminate JT.
Rory.
JT and Rory,
anybody.
as well as
he may have he may know something. He may sell us on being Rory. Go ahead.
Okay.
So and
Hulk
me and
Hogan,
golf
NWO Rory.
Rory's pissed at his own tournament.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Rory's like, Lowry beat me. Freaking Lowry beat me. I'm going to Live, dude. I can't even beat. I can't even beat Lowry. I can beat Lowry in a race. Backpedaling.
They're going to give me $650 million.
That fat bastard beat me. I'm taking my 650 and headed out.
Going to smack the Victor Hovland button here, and he's barely a top 10. Thank goodness he's 10, because if he was 11, that they had to say top 11, and then it'd be a dead giveaway. But
exactly.
Hovland's been, I think, relatively quiet on live. Like, hadn't really run his mouth a whole lot. I have a first alternate, but I mean, there's only so many guys, and I know you guys have to speak too. But I think Victor is a huge, huge candidate for this position, and he's going to get paid too. You know, maybe he played the 54-hole event, and he was like, "Dadgum, this is not too shabby. Let me go ahead and slap this 54-hole button. God rest the queen."
God rest the queen.
I love it. All right, Ben.
Who you got?
Man, there's so many ways I want to go here. And the reason being is because you got so many guys that are probably miffed because Shoffley, Zalatoris, and Morikawa, along with Hovland and Rahm, were not invited to that secret meeting that was held. And so how you leave the top 10 out of that friggin' meeting, I have no idea.
Yeah,
because it wasn't
Ricky
like
Fowler was invited.
Yeah, and Ricky Fowler got to take the private jet and got to be the driver of the Armada. I mean,
the
come
Armada,
on.
Baby.
Yeah.
So you got guys that are probably already pissed that they've had zero input on this. It's just been, and so that's what was telling us when they said
one vocally pissed
the Rory Tour.
Yeah,
and that's the guy that I'm stepping out on a ledge and saying that it is. I'm saying it's John Rahm because
he's
pissed that he is not being asked anything. He even made a comment earlier in the year where they said something about the Tiger. He made the Tiger quote. He was like, "Tiger, you need to ask him. There are only two people they talk to about stuff like that.
Tiger,
I'm not one
never
of
met
them."
Her.
And
he
so,
was visibly upset and visibly shook a little bit when they started talking about he was going to be required to play 20 events. He was.
Yeah, he did not like that.
Not
and so
that.
I'm going with Rahm because that dude wants 13, 14 events. And he loves money. He has said that he really loves money.
But he also has said $400 million
is not going to change my life any. That's what he that was his, that was a quote.
That is the position
that
of
was,
FU.
That was until is. His, that was after he said that, that was until his agent called him and said, "Oh yes, it will. And let me tell you how."
$400 million will not change.
Yeah.
In other words, I'm already loaded. Like, how much more loaded can I be? I guess.
What's the difference between being a one billionaire or a two billionaire? You know, probably just a lot more taxes.
Exactly.
Well, if he's that damn tax. Loaded, then just retire right now. Just stop.
No, I'm with you.
Playing.
I'm with you. So I don't think it's either one of those guys. I think out of those two.
This is amazing. We got three different opinions here.
I think
and there's
out
a
of those,
top 10 and one of them is already in the live tour.
Yeah. I think that Rahm, if it was Rahm, he would have had to change his mind today. He would have had to change his mind today because he had some very, very strong statements earlier in the week, or I guess towards the weekend, right before the tournament started. Unless he changed his mind from, let's say that press conference was Tuesday or Wednesday. He had to have changed his mind from Tuesday to Sunday. Could have happened. He said some things I just don't think you would say if you're about to jump. I think you would be a lot of no comment stuff, kind of like Cam Smith. So I'm going to throw Rahm out. I just don't think Victor to me, I think he really wants to win a major before he bolts. If he wins a major, he might go. He's so freaking good. He played great today. I think this is going to be a guy like a Patrick Cantlay. That's kind of the vibe, like a guy that's just, you know, I know I'm never going to be the star on the PGA Tour. I may win a bunch. I may win the tour championship. But nobody's ever going to really, like, I'm just never going to be that guy everybody looks to. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go make $120 million. I'm going to get on a boat and take selfies with a bunch of hot chicks. That's that, and then be ironic. That's what he's going to be. I think it's going to be Patrick Cantlay, our boy, going over there, hitting 280-yard drives right down the middle and making tons of putts.
Oh, Patrick come on. Cantlay. He can get it out there 295.
Patrick Cantlay.
Patrick Cantlay. Now, look.
That's a reach to me.
I'm gonna have to check in on the Jews and how they feel about the.
Is he Jewish? I don't know. Is he
how Jewish? Can he not be? Please imagine a world where Patrick Cantlay is not Jewish, and please, I don't want to live in that world. I don't know about you. There's absolutely no chance that Patrick Cantlay.
You know what? That was a route that I did not think about. If Patrick Cantlay is of Jewish descent, that could be an issue.
What if he comes out and says, "I've spoken with my rabbi, and I'm staying on the PGA Tour"?
Oh man!
Oh my!
I did not know that's where that was going. How can he not be?
Oh boy!
I think Nate's has got more credence than anybody, just because Hovland's young enough that he can go live, work, play there for 2 years, earn his card back, and then come back.
How
and play
much
on the PGA
weed
Tour.
Can he buy with $120 million?
Oh my gosh! He will be a farm investor.
If he comes out, he gets $420 million.
If he gets $420 million, that is going to be so damn obvious.
He's going to get paid $500 million in CBD stock.
They're going to gift him a weed farm. He's going to have his own farm, and they'll be like, you can receive revenues from this.
I love Victor Hovland.
Hey, you guys thought Shorts was crazy? Players are not allowed to participate in cannabis-related products while playing in live tour events. Well, Dustin Johnson said, "Oh, that wasn't allowed."
And Jim, if we go to number one, we notice he's not only wearing shorts, he's also high as a kite right now, and he is smoking a doobie as he walks down the fairway.
Before we go, best thing on Live Tour is the Wednesday pro-ams when they have Country Club Adjacent doing the back-off challenge with all the guys. Oh, my gosh. The best one was when Dustin Johnson came up, and they're like, "Hey, Dustin Johnson, do you have to put a head cover on that thing?" Talking about his Johnson. They're like, "What is that, a 7-wood?" And Dustin Johnson said, "No, it's a 9-wood.
And they're like, "You look like a guy with a big penis who doesn't know how to use it." And he's like, Have you seen my wife?
Yeah. This is great. It's great stuff.
They said that Abraham answered, "You look like a guy who would come take my mom out for carne asada and then have her back home by 8 p.m.
Yes.
they have great ones, man. That's good. That kind of stuff's so cool.
I can't wait till they get into a fight at a tour, because they keep commenting on random spectators to their face and the looks. Somebody's going to get hit. There's going to be some fight before the year's over with.
There was one, they called a guy
Dale Heartburn Jr. or he was wearing like a NASCAR shirt.
They'll walk up to a bunch of kids and be like, "Which one of y'all's dad has the most money?" And it's always going to be like, "Yeah, mine."
Then they asked Trump if his swing was made in China because it looked broken.
Yes.
Oh man. All right. Great show, Nate. Glad to have you back. Y'all have a great week. There's Live Tour is going to be in 2 weeks in Chicago, I believe. So, definitely that name could pop sometime this week or the next week. The Fortnite Championship is coming.
You don't
up.
Think it waits till after the, after the President's Cup?
It could. We'll see. But I'm ready for it to pop, just so we can talk about it. So have a great week. We'll catch you back on Wednesday, episode 225 of the Dad Bod Golf Pod. We're always
striking.
You've been listening to the Dad Bod Golf Pod. Always stroking.